Welcome to Northwest Prime, bringing Seattle to the world and the world to Seattle. Follow us on Twitter.
you were listening to Mama's Express by the Mama Kaz Band, and we have Mama herself with us today, and it took a little bit of juggling to get her on here today. We had a little bit of an issue with our line, but that's live radio for you. Hey, Kaz, how's it going, girl?
I'm good. How are you?
I am, well, you know, I don't need coffee anymore, I'll tell you. There's nothing like being live and then having a glitch, but that's the great thing about radio. So you've had some really great things happen to you since the last time we talked. And just so for everybody who knows, we've had Kaz on in the past. She's just become a great friend. I talk to her almost every day online. And so I'm kind of up to speed, but there's been a lot going on with her. If you're in the UK, you know the Mama Kaz Band, you know Mama Kaz herself. You just heard her with the Mama's Express as we were coming into the show. And so I just want to back up just a little bit, Kaz, and just kind of tell everybody maybe your history in music and bring those up to speed who might be new for the first time.
All right. Well, I'm a singer-songwriter, stroke blues singer from Belfast, Northern Ireland. And pretty much everything kicked off about two years ago, and I got offered to play on stage with Nancy Griffith at the Belfast Nashville Songwriters Convention, and it kicked off from there. Ended up supporting Van Morrison, releasing a solo project, Lipstick and Cocaine, and then Mama's Express. Alongside that was the Mama Kaz Band single. So it's been a pretty, pretty crazy ride.
It has been, and it seems to be going pretty fast, too. I mean, you've really been making a name for yourself. A lot has just been happening. Normally, when I have a guest on, I have pages and pages of notes everywhere. But with you, I just feel like, you know, we talk so much that I'm just so up to speed. I've just been following your career. Couldn't be any happier for you.
Thank you.
With everything that's been going on.
Well, it's one of those things, because I was a secret songwriter and on the cover scene for so many years. So it was just, I've hit 40 recently, so it's not that I had given up on my dream. I sort of started looking at the music industry a lot different, and I had a lot more patience and a lot wiser as you get older. So you know how to deal with the knocks a lot better than you do when you're 20 years younger, say. So I think when you reach a certain age, especially as a female, you know, we go through so many changes as we're getting older, and after you have kids and you know, just the normal female makeup, we reach a point where we're comfortable in ourselves, and life then seems to become a lot easier to deal with. So music being my life, it naturally goes, and I think because I'm positive now, whereas I never used to be, things happen to positive people and those who stay humble and true to themselves, and hopefully I've done that, and that's why these great things are happening to me.
Well, don't you think that maybe success later in life is even better because you've had the time to appreciate it than maybe if you'd come into it and when you're younger and then thought it was just that easy, and you know, now you know.
Definitely.
Things aren't that easy, right?
They're not. It's so hard for any unsigned musician to make a name for themselves, and you know, let's face facts, I'm not going to be the next Rihanna or you know, Adele or whatever. I'm pretty much happy at the moment the way things are going. Although it's a bit crazy, because I really don't know what's going to happen next, and decisions have to be made pretty much on the spot in order for to take me on my musical journey. So I really can't say where I'm going. I just know that it's a better place than where I've been.
Well, let's go back to the nomination. So you were nominated for Best Unsigned Artist
Rock.
Blues Rock, right. So what was it like to get the nomination?
Well, it was crazy. Well, I was actually up for two nominations. I was up for Best Single for Lipstick and Cocaine, and Mama Cass Band was up for the Blues and Rock Award. So they were two different categories, and because one was my solo project and one was the band. So there was so much tough competition as it was. I really, really didn't even think that we would have, you know, got as far as we did. So when the nominations came through, it was just pretty much a recognition that somebody out there knew how hard I had worked, and, you know, how, and not that anybody else doesn't get it hard, but I just was reaching a point where I needed that boost to tell me,
right,
that, yes, you know, people know exactly what's going on. And it was also, you know, acknowledgement that there's no ageism, you know, that you don't have to be a certain age to live your dream and follow your dreams. So it was pretty much a really, really cool moment that we were announced to be nominated. So it was brilliant.
Right, right. And so that also gave you, I think, even more exposure. You had worked really hard, and people
yeah.
had seen that, so it was an affirmation. So take us to the night. So the award was in Dublin, right?
Yeah. We were, what we had done, my friend, Alison McGrath, was also up for an award. She was up for the Alternative Soul Funk Award. So we decided between us that we would hire this coach to travel from Belfast. It's about a 2-hour, you know, drive down in the coach. So we got about 15 of our friends to ride down in the coach. We got down there, and I think there were so many awards. It was just crazy that the whole night. To be honest, I don't remember much because it was such of a buzz. And I was pretty much early up, you know, when you were in the final. I think there was 4 or 5 finalists in each category. And we got there and started to settle in and hooked up with friends we knew. And it was just great to meet the magazine editors who had been supporting each and every one of us. So I think I was 2nd or 3rd up, so pretty early in the evening. So when they announced that Mama Cass Band had won, the crowd, we just went crazy. I was in shock because I just didn't even really have time to settle in. We'd only just got there, and so it was pretty much shock to get called up. But friends that were there and a dear friend of us, Pauline McDermott Smith from Impact Promotions, who had nominated me. So she was with me and had all her crew there. So it was just, you know, it was that moment you see on award shows on TV, and people grab you and they shake you, and you just don't know you really don't know where you are, and then you get trailed down the stairs to get a press photo, and people want to take photos with your award. So it was, when we won, I came off stage and I just was fighting back the tears. And I remember, I think it was Pauline said to me in the midst of all the madness, going, it says, 20 years too late, but you did it.
That is awesome. I could just feel the electricity just by you telling that. So I'm just so happy for you. I'm sure it was just a magical night. Did you have family there with you as well?
Yes. The kids were there. I mean, as you know, my kids mm-hmm. are all up now. So my youngest is 18, next one is 20, and next one is 21. So they were there, and it was bonkers. And I dedicated the award to my youngest daughter because it was coming up to her 18th birthday. And, you know, I just got a photo with her, and it was just special. It was really, really special.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. It's just so priceless that you had that moment and that your children were able to be there to witness it and see it and feel it with you.
Well, that's what when people say to me, you know, about being late, being recognized as a songwriter, that did I feel as if I'd missed out? And these are the things that I look at because I have my kids right beside me every step of the way. And for them, they're so proud of me because we'd come through so many difficult times. So that, and now, you know, my son, bless him, he was quite emotional, and he just says, Mom, I'm so proud of you. So for to have that, you know, your own children stand beside you and say, Mom, we're there. We're so proud of you. There's not a feeling on this earth, and I wouldn't give that up for any age or 20 years. I wouldn't give that up. That moment alone was worth 20 million awards.
Right, exactly, because as any parent knows, you don't hear that very often from your children.
No, you don't. Mine are quite special, bless them. So, yes, they are, I think, because they've never had a choice. Everything has been about music.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, so, are any of them musically inclined? Do they want to join up with you and tour with
my
you?
My daughter used to sing with me when we had a girl band together. And she's a powerful singer. She's got that big, mad, powerful lungs like me. But I think she got sickened from a young age. But she's also actress, and she starred in the Lipstick and Cocaine video. So she's been pretty much involved in it. And then my son, he's just recently, the last few years, picked up the guitar. He's learning it. And my other daughter had played a few instruments through the years. But I always say to them, you know, if it's always there. It's in your blood. It's in your genes. You've got it. You will always go back to it if you need it. So, but they're off doing their own things now and creating futures for themselves and hopefully family. My son has just proposed to his girlfriend at Christmas, so there's a big wedding next year.
And, wow.
I know. So congratulations to them.
Yes, congratulations. And I imagine maybe you'll be singing at that wedding?
I've just written a song for them, so it's pretty special. I haven't been able to play it yet without crying. So I really, but that's the joy of songwriting. I'll have to take it the whole year to get it out of my system.
Okay, so you won the award that night, and of course, you know, you've been walking, and we've all been walking on air for you ever since then.
Thank you.
Yesterday, you had a big announcement that came out, so why don't you tell everybody about that?
Well, yes, I announced that I'm giving up Mama Cal's band because for a long time, the band was pretty young. We were together 15, 16 months, but that 15 months was a roller coaster ride where we were opening up for stars that were coming to Belfast. We opened up for Van Morrison, and we were just so recognized, and I was constantly on the radio and getting interviewed and running about the country. But I sort of, not that I lost sight of what I wanted to do, but it's like two trains running on one track. And the Mama Cal's band is my blues rocky side, but I also have that softer side that I have to be true to. And it seems that the softer side and the more mainstream kind of songs that I've been writing appeal more to the agents, the bookers who book the gigs and that kind of thing. So I'm going to take a chance and follow that route because mm-hmm. what I want to do, even though I'm still a blues singer, I do have that rootsy kind of side to me that I can incorporate into my unplugged sessions and when I go into the studio here to create a new EP. So I want to be able to focus 100% on me and Mama Cal's music, and there's unfortunately no time or energy or hours in the day for me to do all of it together, and it's just unfortunate. Mm-hmm. And it's a very sad day, but we're going out with a bang. We're going out on a charity single. We're going to record, and our last gig will be the 8th of March, and the guys have all given me their blessings, so it's a sweet a sweet moment, but also sad.
Right. But, well, you've been so close with those guys for so long.
Yeah.
But it's also a new adventure because you'll be, you know, on your own. And,
exactly.
Yeah.
Well,
and
that's because I was always on my, I had gotten Mama Cal's noticed before the band had came along because I had another, the Mama Cal's blues band before that, and that didn't work. And so I was pretty much already known on the songwriting scene, on the acoustic scene. So when you have a band behind you, then you can do a lot bigger gigs, and so therefore that's what had happened, and it was just it was so crazy. But because before Christmas, because it was such a shock to the guys, before Christmas everything was fine, and then just after Christmas I started to get offers and started to look at the sound that I was trying to create, and then things just happening so fast since Christmas, and the award probably brought a lot more exposure to me. So I just sat at one point and went, I'm exhausted, and I ran off to Ireland, to the south of Ireland, and hired a cottage for a week with no TV, nothing, just looked over on a lake and wrote 9 songs. Needed that time and that space to clear my head, and I sort of made the decision then that something had to go. I just didn't know which side of me I would have to give up, and it just had to be the band in the end. And the guys understand that.
Right. And you'll always be connected with them too, though.
Oh God, yeah.
You know.
Definitely. I mean, Johnny comes. My drummer, and he's the oldest drummer in Northern Ireland, but he's also one of the best. So he will be still accompanying me on unplugged sessions on his little cajon. So he'll not go anywhere for a while. And Ali, the bass player, he plays in the Mighty Mojos and a few other projects he has going. Peter had been playing with, you know, named players here who had passed away. And, you know, it'll be hard for everybody to get back on track where they want to go. But unfortunately, we all have to do where our heart tells us, and my heart is telling me that I have to go whatever way I need to go.
Well, so far your instincts have been leading you in the right direction. So, you know, sometimes you just have to do what you have to do, because creative energy, you have to have it, you know. I mean, you really can't operate at all if that creative energy isn't flowing. And it doesn't necessarily mean that the other people don't have creative energy, but if it's not interstepped and locked with your creative energy, you end up just kind of staying still. So that's actually good advice for anybody out there who might feel that they like the people that they're with, but creatively they're just kind of, in one spot, you know.
And I really didn't have any problem creatively. Our biggest issue with the band was getting everybody to rehearse and getting everybody together for the amount of time in order to be creative. In the end, we ended up making songs up on stage, because we were such a creative band. The guys knew that if they went into a funky soul jazz beat, that I would be able to pick it up and just make up lyrics on the spot.
Uh-huh.
So that there was so much creativity, and you know, that wasn't the issue with us at all, because they were all so talented. I just, too much creativity as well can inhibit yourself.
Right. Well, that's true too.
Exactly.
So much going on around you. Right.
Which is
right.
what was happening. That's exactly what was happening to me, and I didn't want to lose sense of direction for me as Mama Kaz to where my journey wanted to go. And my journey always has been to travel the world and experience it before I run out of time, and to enable my children maybe to experience that kind of life too. You know, we all do everything for our children, but I think music is to be spread. You know, we discussed this last time, and that's all I want to do, and I think I'm good enough to have that chance.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, I didn't
mm-hmm.
believe in myself that I would possibly be able to do something like this. And now, I really would be able to put the guitar on my back and go anywhere I wanted to in the world and just sit and play. Because
it can
give you that opportunity.
Well, we have been playing you, obviously, on Seattle Wave Radio. We've been playing you on our shows as well. We've had a very good reception to you. Everybody who loves you, who hears you, loves you, and
I
which,
know.
You know, is no surprise at all. You know, to
I,
me.
Seattle has been crazy. People have been messaging me from Seattle, and it's such a warm, I feel like it's home from home. I know when I go there, I'm not going to want to come back to Northern Ireland.
Well, the weather is very comparable, so you'll feel right at home.
I know. No, and I've appreciated everything that everybody is doing. And, you know, without you guys and like Seattle Wave and Seattle Night Out and stuff, my music would never have got across there, you know, into Seattle and brought me so many friends. And look at us, we're sisters from another mother.
That's right, we're sisters from another mother. We said that at the very beginning, and of course that's just ended up being, you know, holding true. We've just completely enjoyed, you know, having you, having this relationship with you. Seattle is also a very musical, you know, vibey, kind of artsy city. I was just downtown last weekend, and there was just people playing music, I mean, all over the place. And most of them I knew from the show, so it was really great, you know, that I could stand there and kind of introduce them to the tourists that were going by, because a lot of times the tourists think that they're homeless people or something like that. And,
well,
and they're not, they're working artists, but, you know, to kind of hone their craft, they'll play downtown, you know, on the street or wherever. And to me, it's a fantastic opportunity for people to hear live music and really good live music. And that's just kind of the vibe. But a lot of times, you know, the musicians I've talked to feel like they have to kind of maybe get out of the studio or out of the club and get to the street. And I saw you playing on the street not long ago, and you were busking or something.
Yes. Well, that was for a special busking Christmas busk for Belfast. And they do that sort of every year to cheer up the shoppers at Christmas. And so that's what that was about. And Belfast sometimes can get a lot of bad press, so a lot of songwriters and musicians took to the streets to let everybody know that, you know, no, we're here and Belfast is still cool.
I had seen that, I believe it was the script. I can't remember if it was in Belfast or Dublin, but they had recorded the busking video because they had started out as buskers themselves, and they wanted to give a shout out to the to musicians. They did a whole video on it, which the whole performing on the street, you have to have a lot of courage, I think, to do that.
Oh, you better believe it. You better believe it. Although, do you know what? My advice to any up-and-coming songwriter or performer, on the streets, busking toughens you up. That's where you learn how to deal with the public, and that's how you deal, you know, when you with rejection, with the bare knuckle, down and dirty rejection that you would get, you know, to people trying to steal any few pounds that are in your guitar case, or trying to steal your guitar case, or your handbag, you know.
Oh, geez.
You've got to have your wits about you. Not that happens a lot, you know, it's just that's the extreme version of it. But you do learn your craft. You learn how to perform. I was already a performer before I went busking, because I was a singer first before I learned guitar. So I remember, you know, the first time picking up guitars, and the first time I was busking was in a busking competition in a seaside resort. And I was busking outside, and little did I know, I'd plugged into the speaker hooked up to a car battery, and it was about 100 yards, 200 yards up the street, that the busking chairman of whatever the competition was, he came down and he said to my agent at the time, she's going to have to turn that down. She's going to have to unplug herself, because we can hear her on the other side of the water. So I learned pretty early on, no, you don't need any amplification, Kaz. Not when you're busking.
Well, luckily it didn't catch fire or something with the car battery.
I know. Yes, no.
That would have caused a scene.
Well, that wouldn't have passed. anybody who knows me knows I always create some sort of a scene no matter where I go.
Well, what can we look forward to you doing in 2013? What is your dream, actually, for 2013?
Well, 2013, I would like to get stateside, and I'm working on that. That probably won't happen till 2014. Possibly early 2014. I'm not sure. But depending, this is why I was saying, Laurie, that you've seen it, how fast things go at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't know what is around the corner. I know where what I have planned, and I have planned my now that I'm back solo, my new EP mini album will be out in. Will launch on the 5th of April. Via Belfast, Nashville. They're doing a special big Mama Cousin concert. That will release my new sound. Then I'm hoping to go on an Irish tour for 2 weeks in April and possibly England dates I'm looking at as well. And I know I've got a few dates at the end of the year, but I'm trying to incorporate them all into a bit of a tour. So, and in the meantime, I'm just going to hit the pubs, back to grassroots, and do the gigs that made me strong. And just, I think that's where I connect with people. It's okay doing those big, massive gigs in front of thousands of people or hundreds of people. I love that eye-to-eye contact that I have when I've written a song and I'm just testing it out, and that moment that it catches somebody's eye and it catches their heart, or they understand it. Some of them they possibly don't get, but that's songwriting for you. But I miss that. It's kind of one-on-one connection that you have with the audience. So that's what I'm that's what this year is about, getting
mm-hmm.
back down to grassroots.
Right. No, to me, that's really normal with musicians, that they get back into the bars and the pubs and that type of thing. I know somebody who's a comedian. He's been on TV as a comedian, but he wants to do stand-up. So he's honing his skills right now, just kind of in these little stand-up, you know, clubs all over the country. And he's well-known, but he's going to these little clubs because he's, you know, he's trying to learn stand-up himself.
Exactly.
And actors will do that with plays, you know.
Yeah.
They'll be in movies or that type of thing.
Yeah. Van Morrison is doing it at the moment. He is doing concerts here in Northern Ireland, you know, after so many years not performing here. And when he returned home last year, and that was the homecoming concert that we opened up for him. Now he's doing, like, personal concerts with 100 people. It cost a fortune to go and see him, but he must be feeling the same way. And
right.
Doing those kind of personal gigs up and down the country.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can see when you perform to stadiums like what he does, there isn't, you know, there is an intimacy, but there's not that same intimacy as when those people are right up on top of you in a smaller club.
Yeah, yeah. It's that looking across the stage, and you know, and being nervous. You know, every songwriter who writes a song is pretty nervous the first time they ever perform it, and that's what I miss. And I had the security of the band that, you know, if I messed up they would cover it, and if I forgot
mm-hmm.
my words I could ad lib. But when you're vulnerable and you've just got your guitar, you have to work harder. You have that's what makes you stronger as a performer and as a songwriter, in my opinion. And that's what I miss. So that's what I'm going for. Plus, I want to explore my songwriting and delve in and out of different genres. Everybody all know, people know me as a great blues singer and a ballad singer. So I want to try some quirky stuff, and, you know, the American market might be used to the sound I'm going to bring out. I don't know. But in Northern Ireland, I'm trying. I know that I've got a unique voice here. So I'm trying to widen the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and expand your horizons.
Expand my horizons.
Well, I certainly appreciate appreciate you taking the time to come on and catch everybody up with what's going on with you. I want to go out with Lipstick and Cocaine. And can you tell everyone about that song?
Lipstick and Cocaine was released last May, and that was my closure to a dark past, and it was the title track on the EP, and was also the music video that you can see on YouTube of that my daughter starred in, and the video was about my life 20 years ago in struggling with drinking drugs, and in the end, the music saved my life, and I conquered it. And now I'm able to live my dream.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we are behind you 100%.
I love Seattle. Thank you so much to everybody who supported me. The messages and the support, it's just so humbling. Thank you to everybody.
Well, we'll be following you. Of course, I'll probably be talking to you later, you know, tonight. And, I'm just... stay up with you. If you get over here and you need a ride from the airport, give me a call. You can stay with me. I'll pick you up. Whatever, I can drive you from gig to gig. I'm behind you all the way.
Your master plan may come into play very soon. I love you, dearly, Lori. I love you, dearly.
No, I'm here if you need me. So we're going to let Kaz go because she's actually going out with some friends tonight, and I believe they're going to go check out some other bands. Is that right?
Yes.
You guys are headed out? All right. I wish I was there. I would go with you.
I know. I don't get
in another life.
I don't
even have a passport. I'm not going anywhere. But it is on my list for 2013 to get a passport, just in case. To get up and get going anywhere. Well, anyway, you have a nice night, love. Thanks for coming on. We're going to play Lipstick and Cocaine.
No problem. Love you. Love you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
right. That was Lipstick and Cocaine by the lovely Mama Kaz. She is just so talented, such a lovely, lovely individual. We've had so much luck coming out of Northern Ireland. There's so much talent there. There's so much talent in the United States and Seattle and Nashville and L.A. And but the world is just full of just very, very talented people. It makes me feel like I've been slacking all this time. Another friend of ours in Belfast is artist Jennifer Troughton. If you haven't had a chance to check out Jennifer's work, you can go to jennifertroughton.com. She is a master visual artist, just a master of art as a living artist in the world. E.L. James mentioned her work in the, you know, the phenomenon 50 Shades of Grey, male love interest Christian Grey had Troughton's work in his office. So it caught the eye of a lot of millions and millions of people became familiar with Jennifer Troughton's work, but she was already a huge artist before the 50 Shades of Grey books came out. She just knew E.L. James personally. E.L. James had been recently to a show of hers at a London museum and then wrote about it in the books. And Jennifer actually, as a tribute to her being named in those books, came out with a limited edition print of only 850 of signed and numbered lithograph type of poster, but higher quality than a poster. It's a print that's limited to 850 people only. It's the first time she's ever done anything like that. She's not planning on doing anything like that again. She has a really good price on that, but she did want to give a nod to the recognition that came to the book and the fans that were asking for some type of piece of work from her. So you could go to jennifertroughton.com, JennifertTroughton.com. We're also trying to get Jennifer's work over here stateside so that we can appreciate it. She's being shown in Ireland and London currently, and I think that we need her, especially in Seattle, since the books took place in Seattle. We did several interviews with Jennifer Troughton and Mama Kaz on the Real Sisters Talk Show. You could listen to those shows in the archives at realsisterstalk.com. And my sister Linda has some upcoming shows there with some really great guests. So you might want to be sure to check that out at realsisterstalk.com. Next week, we have two old hippies coming on. I'm really excited about that show in particular. Two old hippies was just featured in People magazine. I got my People magazine yesterday, and there were two old hippies. They have a store in Nashville and another in Aspen. And it's just that Molly and her husband, they started these stores. They really caught fire. It's a big celebrity hangout now. All the celebrities shop there. It's a place to see and be seen. They sent me some great shirts that came in the mail today. I can't wait to, you know, wear them all over the place. In fact, when they came, they were so beautifully packaged. It was like receiving Christmas presents. They were all wrapped up really pretty, and I was super excited. So they're going to be on next week. We're going to talk to them about their People magazine coverage and the TV show, hit show, Nashville on ABC. All of their people are shopping there and stopping in there, and that's even how they got on the radar was, you know, the celebrities were coming through to shop there, and they have live music. They have book signings. It's a huge experience at these stores, and you can also find them online at twooldhippies.com. So that is our show for today. I certainly thank you for hanging in there with us, and sometimes getting an overseas connection can be a little complicated, but we managed to figure it out. We will be back tomorrow. We're going to have Darius Garrett on. He's one of the original Freedom Writers. And we're going to talk to him about the movie with Hilary Swank and his role in that. And then we also have some big rock guests coming up next week. We're going to be talking with them and getting them on. It's just a great time to be in music, a great time to be a music fan. And and just a great time to be living the human experience. There's some great people out there. Just have to open your eyes and pay attention, and they will pop right out. So thanks again for listening. Have a great day, and we will see you on the next show.